Blog Talk Radio.
Again with Christian Talk.
Yes. Here
Praise
we
the
are.
Lord. Hi, Tasila. How are you?
I'm doing very good. I'm glad to hear your voice.
Yes. And tonight we're having TNT time. This is TNT time on Christian Talk this evening. And before we get started, I would like for all of you to do what I tell you to do every week. Grab your phones or grab your computers, go to your inbox or text your family members, friends, and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or just click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tasila or the link wherever you see the post for this particular show. And you can just click on the link if you want to just listen from your computer. You may not want to dial in. You probably want to just listen from your computer, and that's perfectly okay. You might see the link on you might see the post on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Christian Talk is now on The Bridge Gospel Radio every Thursday at 6 p.m. Yes. So just go to radiokbrg.com and tune in and listen from your computer. That's radiokbrg.com, The Bridge Gospel Radio. That's every Thursday. You'll listen to TNT on Christian Talk. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And also, hey, you are all invited to come and worship with us at Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. That's the name of our ministry, Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. It's at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue in Upland, California, 91786, and we're there every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. You will be blessed, and we would love to see you guys. So come and worship with us and have a good time in the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
So then.
That is really good.
God is good.
Oh,
God
did
is
you
very
tell them
good.
What time? You got to let them know what time.
Yeah, 1:30 p.m. Yes, 1:30 p.m. every
Sunday. Amen.
Yes, so you get a chance to sleep in a little bit, and then you can get up and come on to church, 1:30 p.m. Amen? Amen. But here's what's going on for right now. For right now, we have... a TNT moment, but tonight it's TNT time. TNT
Amen.
Time with T. Meyer and Tasila. And so what do we have for tonight, Pastor Tasila?
We have something that's very good. I hope you guys got your listening ears on because it's called a wedding invitation that we're giving
hey.
To all. And a lot of people do not realize how great Jesus is and how many facets he operates from. When we think of Jesus, sometimes we just think about Jesus being on the cross. But Jesus is off the cross now, and he's moving around, and he operates from so many different facets. In fact, in Isaiah 9:6, it says, but first, put your revelation ears on. Put on your revelation hat before I read what
yeah.
it says, because the world, the word tells us that only they that are in the spirit can understand spiritual things. So, you know, kind of let's just say a prayer. Lord, open up the ears of the people that they may hear what the Spirit is saying in this hour. Amen.
Yes.
So I'm going to go back to Isaiah 9:6. And the many facets of Jesus is what I was talking about. And it reads, unto us a child is born. That's one facet. But some people keep him as a baby in a lowly manger. Unto us
right.
a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Wait a minute. How did Jesus just go from a child or a baby to a mighty God, the Everlasting Father?
Right.
Because revelation of Jesus Christ and who he truly is. I remember he told
yeah.
one of the apostles, he said, before Abraham was, I am. Woo. Only God said, tell them I am. But he said, I am. And so look at all the different facets, because only a God can die for you. And so look, because there's so many facets to God, he's unlimitless. And another facet to him is our bridegroom king. We love to talk about him. He's not just our king, but he's our bridegroom lover, and we are his bride. And like I said, this is, we're talking about a wedding invitation that is to all. It's not just for the church, but it's for everybody. God is calling everybody to this invitation, but will you answer? That's the whole
yeah,
thing.
That's
all
that's
are
the
invited
thing.
To the wedding and having a – and so – Jesus gave us all, we have, after we said I do to him, we have an engagement ring. Did you know that, Pastor T? That we
yeah.
all have an
yeah.
engagement ring. And Ephesians 1:14 says, he is given to us like an engagement ring is given to a bride as the first installment of what's coming. If there's a first installment, oh, something else is about to come. But a lot of times as Christians, we stop at the first installment. We say, I do. We receive the Holy Spirit, and that is our seal. And then we stop. And you can't, because God has more for you, a lot. We are stamped with the seal of the promise of the Holy Spirit. And that's just our down payment of what's to come. What's coming then, Sister Tasila? What's coming, one may ask, is Ephesians 1:14 tells you what's coming. He is given to us as our hope promise. Jesus is our reward. That's the He. That's what's coming. He is our full reward. And you are the bride, and you are invited to the wedding. How beautiful is that? Man, I'll tell you, that's a wedding I do not want to miss. But let's pray, and let's pray like Paul prayed in the Word. Let's not just pray, but let's pray the Word. In Ephesians 1:17, Paul said, I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Tasila, when you read the Word, put yourself in there, and you have to insert yourself. You can't just read and act like that's ancient and that's in time. But when you see and you read, insert yourself. You must insert yourself in the Word. Amen? He said, Amen. I would that you impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. That's what Paul is asking for. I'm asking for that too, to God to impart to me the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation, to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. You see how you can marry a person? You have to ask yourself, Paul is saying that your intimacy with the Lord must be deepened. And you got to ask yourself, how can you marry a person that you never spend time with? That's how you check yourself to prepare yourself. How can you marry a person if you don't really know them? Or how could you even go to their wedding if you don't know the people that are being married? You could come, but everybody will be asking, who was that? Did you know that person?
Right.
You know. Right. But Paul says, I am asking Jesus to impart to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation as you deepen your intimacy with him. See, a lot of times people want things. They just want it because they see it operating on someone else. But Paul is telling you how to get it. And the Lord said, if you lack wisdom and revelation, ask. You can ask, but Paul is telling you how you're going to get it. He's saying as you deepen your intimacy with him. This is actually, God is saying, this is on a need-to-know basis. Why should you have revelation knowledge if you don't care or love the revelatory, the revelator, the person who's given the revelation out? What do you need it for if you don't love the person that's giving it? The body of Christ must all deepen their secret place intimacy of love and relationship. You know, Enoch pleased God so much that he was not, for God took Enoch because he pleased him so much. He spent a lot of time with the Lord. Paul also goes on to say that I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, meaning your innermost heart or your spiritual being. Paul goes on to say that, I pray that God is flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, to which he is calling you to. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in you. You know, like Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul also prays in Ephesians 1:19, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then, he says, then your lives will be an advertisement. Okay, Paul, what are you trying to say? He's saying then, he says, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then, he says, your lives will be an advertisement of the immense power of God as it works through you. Now, I'm not a naysayer, especially when it comes to the Word of God, but has anybody seen this type of immense, immeasurable power working in any form or in the church? We have been invited to something great.
Right. No.
This is great what God is inviting us to, that we all need to be about our Father's business. Paul says, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. This is God's resurrection power, and it should be seen in the church. You know that? When he raised Jesus, he gave him, that was resurrection power that he raised Jesus from the dead with and exalted him and seated him in his throne to the place of the highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, and realm of power and existence. I said, Jesus. And that you guys got to listen to and hear is the one that's exalted first, because people like to put other idols and people first. But Jesus is first above your husband, your wife, your kids, above rulers, above all authority, government, and anything that exists in this realm. Keep this in your mind. He, Jesus, is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is coming. You see, there's an order already set up in the heavens and on earth, and he alone is the leader and the source of everything needed in the church. God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank above all others. And now we, his church, are his body on earth, and that which fills him, who is being filled by it, meaning as we are those who are filled completely by Christ, we also complete or fill him. We are his building pieces. So not only is Christ filling us, but he's building something to hand to the Father. That's why at the wedding, he needs to see when you enter into the kingdom, and when you enter into this wedding he invited you to, he needs to see himself in you. His fullness fills you. Throughout and the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his grace and kindness, which is showed upon us in Jesus Christ. We have to become his poetry, a recreated people, twice-born people that will fulfill the destiny he has given to each and every one of us. For we are joined to Jesus, and he has invited us all to the wedding. And the word Jesus used allegories when he was speaking to the people, meaning he was using stories and poems and pictures and everything to interpret or to reveal a hidden meaning. So he spoke of the wedding that we are all invited to, and he spoke about it in Matthew chapter 22, and this is what the Lord was saying. He spoke on this wise. He says, there was once a king who arranged an extravagant wedding, and he created this wedding feast for his son, On the day of the festivities were set to begin, he sent his servants to summon all the invited guests, but they chose not to come. So the king sent even more servants to inform the invited guests, saying, "Come, for the sumptuous feast is now ready. The oxen and the fattened cattle have been killed, and everything is prepared. So come, come to the wedding feast for my son and his bride." But the invited guests were not impressed. One was preoccupied with his business. Another went off to his farming enterprise, and the rest seized the king's messengers and shamefully mistreated them and even killed them. This infuriated the king, so he sent his soldiers to execute those murderers and had their cities burned to the ground. Then the king said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, yet those who had been invited to attend didn't deserve the honor. Now I want you to go into the streets and alleyways and invite anyone and everyone you find to come and enjoy the wedding feast in honor of my son." So the servants went out into the city streets and invited everyone to come to the wedding feast, good and bad alike, until the banquet hall was crammed with people. Now when the king entered the banquet hall, he looked with a glee over all the guests. But then he noticed a guest who was not wearing the wedding robe provided for him. So he said, "My friend, how is it that you're here and you're not wearing your wedding garment?" But the man was speechless. Then the king turned to his servants and said, "Tie him up, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be great sorrow with weeping and grinding of teeth. For everyone is invited to enter into it, but few respond in excellence." Those invited to come from the streets had no opportunity to buy wedding clothes. This wedding robe is a picture of the garments of righteousness that grace provides for us. The man without the wedding garments had one provided. He did have one. He could have had one on, but he didn't want to change into his new clothes. A change is necessary, for our king provides garments, yes, of white linen for us to wear, our wedding garments. But a change is necessary. That means we have to do something because we have a free will. It's up to us to make sure that we put on our wedding garments. And Isaiah 52:1 says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised or the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck." That means the yoke is broken because of the anointing. That will loose the bands from off of our neck. The anointing and the power of God is what helps us all to get cleansed. "For thus saith the Lord, you sold yourself for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money." And the reason why you're redeemed without money, because you're redeemed with the blood of Christ. Revelation 19:7 says, "Let us all be glad we are invited." And the Bible says we are all invited to the wedding, but it says, "Let us all be glad that we are invited and rejoice." We should all be rejoicing and glad that we are invited and give honor to him. "For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me," said the scribe that was writing in Revelation 19, he says, "Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Blessed are you to be called. Prepare yourself. I'm asking each and every person that prepare yourself. I know that a lot of people think that the grace is that is all that they need, but God is telling you in these parables that there's more he needs for you to prepare. You can submit to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does the work, but you have to submit to it. The Holy Spirit, it will change your garments. He will give you light and help you to prepare, but you have to be willing to submit and change and hear the voice of God and do the things that is required of you that God asks you to do. And he says, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. If you are a real sheep of the Lord and you know him, then you are in a preparation state. Even as we speak, you are in an intimacy state with the Lord, where you are bowing down to him and submitting to him and asking the Lord to create in you a clean heart. You want Jesus to walk in that ceremony, and you want to be filled with the same light that Christ has in him. Because it says we don't know what we shall be, but we do know that when we see him, we shall be as he is. So that means that God wants to share that same light that's in him with you. And when he sees you, he wants to see you with your garment of light that like he is. So it's just so interesting. No, you can't do it, but he can. You got to allow God to do his work in you. And it's a lot of distractions right now. It's a lot of people pulling. Everything is so important. Right now, just going to a restaurant and hanging out with people seem to be more important than spending your time with the Lord. But God has something so great for each and every one of you all. It's not just Christianity 101. God's Christianity is he wants you to be Christ-like. He has died. He has opened up some doors that a lot of people don't realize that he wants you to be as he is. So when you see him, you would look like him. And that's what he was crying out in John 17, asking the Father for, that they may be one with us, even as we are one. God wants to share. He wants to share his light. But you're like a beautiful statue that he's creating. He doesn't want to put the nose on and then you wipe it off. And when he put the eyes on, you rub them out. He wants to put things on and it remains. And he wants you to grow into maturity into him. Because when he sees you, he wants to see himself. And that is just something that we all got to get to, is submitting to the Holy Spirit so it could do its perfect work inside of us. Is that right, Pastor T?
That's absolutely right. Praise the Lord. That's such a beautiful message. And I hope everybody had their revelation ears on, because you are opening up a lot of scripture for everybody. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after this. Hallelujah. You are listening to Christian Talk, and we're having TNT time. That's T. Meyer and Tosila time tonight on Christian Talk. Thank you, Jesus. Powerful message, Pastor Tosila. You know, I was just thinking, if you were to count the generations in the book of Matthew, starting from Abraham to Jesus, you know, to Jesus Christ, Scripture tells us that it's 42 generations. But if you were to literally count the generations, you will only come up with 41. There's actually a generation missing. Where is that 42nd generation? The 42nd generation wasn't counted in that particular scripture because Jesus hadn't taken a bride yet. We are that 42nd generation. The Lord is ready to be married. And just like any man who is ready for marriage, he searches high and low for that right person. He has seen many fair maidens, many nice women. But he knows when he has found that perfect one. He knows when he found her, that special girl. He knows when he found her because she is irresistible to him. She is the right, she is the girl of his dreams. He cannot live without her. He feels that she must be his wife. She just has to be because no one else would ever do. So he asks her hand in marriage. She says yes, then the preparations for a wedding begins. The girl is excited and nervous. Yeah. The man is excited and nervous as well. They tell all their friends about the new love they have found and that they have committed themselves to each other. She begins at least a year before the wedding, getting herself and everything in order. It's so exciting and beautiful. Well, it's the same with Jesus. He is very excited to become one with his bride. But his bride must make herself ready. She must be ready mentally, physically, spiritually, and her very soul must be ready to enter into holy matrimony with the Lord Jesus Christ. Once the bride is ready, then the invitation goes out into all the world for all to come to the wedding. But in order for the guests to come in, they must be properly dressed as well. Even in the natural, when you are invited to a wedding, and I think you brought this up, Pastor Tosila, you make sure you are properly suited for the occasion, a time of celebrating and a time of fun. But still, the guests must be properly dressed. Yes, even the guests must make themselves ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because if you're not dressed properly for the wedding of the Lamb and his bride, you can be kicked out. And you brought this scripture out so beautifully, and I love the way you read it and you brought it out and explained it in Matthew 22, verses 11 through 14. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" You had mentioned that we have to be changed. Well, the man was speechless. Mm-hmm. Then the king said to his servants, he said, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." The Lord gave that example, that parable, for a reason. He was speaking more spiritually. That's why he said he would be cast out into outer darkness. God is sending out the call in this hour for his bride to make herself ready. Yes, even the bride has to hear the call and prepare herself in this hour. She can't invite others until she herself is ready and prepared to be joined to her husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians, you can't bring others into the kingdom of God unless you yourselves are disciplined, controlled, prepared, and ready for the kingdom. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So don't let Satan have anything in you. Stay in Jesus and be clothed with his righteousness. Okay, so how does the bride make herself ready, you may ask? Well, first, let's see who the bride is. Contrary to many teachings, the bride isn't all of Christianity. All of the church is not the bride. The bride is a small remnant out of Christianity, a small but highly anointed group of Christian people that is fully joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. God's true bride is fully clothed with the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is written for us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, why did he say that? Because if you are operating in the fruit of the Spirit, you are operating with the characteristics of God himself, of Jesus Christ himself, then you are completely free from the law because your lifestyle is a lifestyle of worship to God. You have fulfilled all the law. Paul goes on to say, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. When you operate fully in the fruit of the Spirit, I'm talking about fully in the fruit of the Spirit, then you are no longer walking in the flesh. You no longer walk in the flesh. You no longer have a carnal mind. You don't entertain that carnal mind. When you walk in the fruit of the Spirit continually, then you are ready for the gifts of the Spirit to begin operating perfectly in your life. Now, I know a few people have gifts here and there, but I'm talking about the gifts of the Spirit working perfectly in your life continually. And the gifts of the Spirit is the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues. You don't know how important this is, but those diverse kinds of tongues is very important. And the interpretation of tongues, very important. All of the gifts, extremely important in this hour to be operating perfectly. The Holy Spirit gives you these gifts because of your desires. It's because your desires are no longer for this world, but for the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of the living God. And these gifts are for your growth and for his ministry on earth. It is very hard to find a church that operates continually with the full fruit of the Spirit working perfectly in them in this hour. It's very hard to find a church like that. But there are people who are willing to have the fruit of the Spirit operating in them continually and perfectly. But those believers, those who are willing to be filled completely with the fruit of the Spirit, are scattered. They're all over the place. Some are still in the world right now because they have to come to the head of their calling. Some are in this church or that church. Some are in religion, in this religion or that religion, but God is pulling them together to be one in him. That's why some of you are feeling the call. You can feel the call because he's gathering his people to be one in him in order to bless others. God calls the few to bless the many. He wants his bride to come forth out of the world into him. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. God is pulling us out. Come out of the world. Come out of witchcraft. Come out of false religions, politics, ungodly secret societies, pagan churches, and ungodly careers and ungodly governments. Come out of her. Come out of Babylon. And it goes on to say that ye be not partakers of her sins and that ye receive not her plagues. Because this kind of lifestyle and these kinds of people will be judged and destroyed. Jesus wants his bride to desire him and come to him so that he can present his bride, his perfect church, to himself without any sinful stains upon them. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, that he might present it to himself, talking about the church, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The Lord's desire is for his bride to multiply and be a blessing to the world by inviting them and giving the world a wedding invitation. Therefore, once she, his bride, his seven lampstand golden candlestick last day church is fully joined to him, then will all people see her beauty, her glory, which is Jesus Christ being fully formed in her. They'll see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then she and the Spirit can say, come. As it is written in Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the river of life freely. They, the Holy Spirit and the bride, will put out the call for whosoever will, for whoever will, to come. Whoever have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches in this hour, those who will answer the call, those who are prepared with their lamps burning and they have plenty of oil or Holy Spirit in them. For when the bride and the bridegroom comes in the midnight hour, we must have plenty of Holy Spirit in us. Matthew 25, verse 3 through 14. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. The whole church slumbered and slept. And at midnight, which is the time we're living in right now, the midnight hour, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now, in the original scripture, it was written, go ye out to meet the bride and the bridegroom. That cry is the prophetic voice in this hour. It is the preacher's warning and telling the people to be ready to go. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They ran out of oil. They ran out of the Holy Spirit. They only wanted to go so far, and they stopped, like Pastor Tasila was saying. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. In other words, go somewhere else and get your oil. And while they went to buy or go somewhere else to get the Spirit, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins. Think about it. Afterwards came the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, truly I say unto you, I know you not. The Lord is saying, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. But you have to make sure you are alert and have plenty of Holy Spirit in you. That means you have to have a relationship with the Lord so his Spirit can dwell in you. The call goes out to invite everyone to the wedding feast. But let's face it, everyone will not be worthy or ready. Nevertheless, it is required that all be ready and clothed properly. Jesus is sending the call out for people to go into all the world and invite souls to God's kingdom feast, because many who were chosen to come and called did not answer the call. So now the call is open to whoever will. And you brought this out beautifully also, Pastor Tassila, in Matthew 22, verses 8 through 10. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready. Everything is prepared. But they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways. Now these are the people of God going out into the world. Go ye into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Call them. Call the world. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. The call is going out into the world. God's prophets, preachers, evangelists, teachers, apostles, and messengers are calling out to everyone to heed the call and enter into God's kingdom realm before it's too late, before the invitation is no longer available and the door is shut. The Lord is making the call. So ask yourself, am I one of those who are invited to the wedding, or am I the bride, the one who the wedding is for? Am I one of the ones who will be getting married to the Lord? Prepare yourselves right now so that you can begin to make yourself ready, because it is good to be invited to the wedding feast of the Lord, but it's even better when you're the one getting married. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Woo! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll be right back. Don't go away. We'll be right back. all of you who are listening, if there's any one of you who have been thinking about giving your heart to the Lord, or any one of you that may have backslid a little bit and you want to rededicate yourself to the Lord, just repeat after me and do it from your heart. Speak it out loud from your heart and believe with everything that's in you. Okay? Here we go. Father God, I am a sinner, and I am so sorry. I repent and ask that you forgive me for all of my sins. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on the cross and that you raised him from the dead. I accept the Lord Jesus Christ in my life as my Lord, my Savior, and my King. And I believe that he is the Son of the living God. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father God, I ask that you give me the gift of the Holy Spirit and that you receive me in your life and let me be a child of God so that you can live your life through me. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. That's it. It's done. That's all it takes. Thank you, Jesus. We want to thank you all for tuning in to our TNT time tonight. And as always, you guys are always a blessing. Those of you who have been supporting Christian Talk for so long, you are a blessing to us. And, well, I don't know, Pastor Tassila, is there anything you want to say?
Oh, yeah. I just want to tell the people that God is the King who prepares his kingdom feast for his son, Jesus. And the messenger servants are the prophets he sends to summons the people to enter into the love feast of Jesus. It is all about the wedding of the Lamb to the bride of Christ. What a glorious feast is prepared already for all of us. You don't want to miss it. We are his messengers in this hour, and we're saying prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare yourself. Even the scripture tells you that the bride makes herself ready for this. You should be excited because we're sounding alarm out in the airwaves telling you prepare the way and get ready for what God is about to do, something great and big in you. And if you stay in your secret place of the Most High, deepen your intimacy with the Lord. Don't just go in and read a scripture and run out and say, hi, Jesus, I just want to say hello, or just asking for things. You don't have to even ask for a lot of things if you spend time with the Lord, just listening and waiting on him to see what he has to say. Remember that scripture that says that the Lord looks over the banisters of heaven to see if there is anyone that cares, that anyone is interested in what he's interested in. Well, he's interested for what he died for, bringing souls in. And he wants to have that great feast time with you all. He wants everybody to make it, no one to be left out. And he wants everybody to be changed with the righteousness of Christ. That's your change of garment, Jesus' great righteousness. So prepare yourself and submit yourself to the process that God has for us all. And don't run. Stop running. He loves you. He sees you. He knows what you're doing. Just give it all to him. And we love you too. And we hope to see you next time on the show. God bless you.
God bless you. And don't forget to come and worship with us at Church of Jesus Christ Ministry at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Every Sunday at 1:30 p.m., you will be blessed. And also remember that Christian Talk is on KBRG, the Bridge Gospel Radio, every Thursday at 6 p.m. Just go to radio.com. KBRG.com and tune in and listen from your computer. God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. We will be here next week, so tell your friends and family to tune in. Until then, we will see you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.